Bryce and I were talking a little bit about sometimes you can over-prepare maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like I do that a lot, so I apologize for some classes that might seem a little scattered, but you get up here, you know, especially up here. This is an honor to be up here and definitely gets your heart moving a little bit. But Revelation chapter 3, we're going to look at Laodicea tonight. Try to get out of Laodicea. Who knows anything about Laodicea? It's the last church mentioned that Jesus talks about, the seven churches which are in Asia. Unfortunately, Laodicea had absolutely nothing good to say about it. And we see, what I want to do for after we're done with the book of Daniel in Sunday school, adult Bible class, is look at the revelation of Jesus Christ in these, the way he introduces himself. So that's kind of a segue for Sunday school. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. But these Laodiceans needed some correction, and we'll see why. What's the phrase, what's the term that's always linked with Laodicea? Starts with an L. Lukewarm. We're going to see what that means a little bit here maybe tonight. Let's pray first, and then we'll read and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for, God, this church has been here for so long, God, seen so many people saved, Lord. Please help us, God, not to be a Laodicean church. Lord, I don't have time to get into Philadelphia tonight, God, but it's the church of brotherly love. Lord, thank you for the love that we have in this church. And God, help us to see if there's one tonight that just needs to repent a little bit, Lord, and hear from you. God, I pray that you'd open up the scriptures now to us and help our eyes to see it. Lord, our ears to hear it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 3, Revelation, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He wasn't created. He wasn't the first thing that was created. He is the beginning of God's creation, meaning he's the one that did the creating of it. We'll see at the end of this that he calls himself the beginning and the end. But look at verse 15. Pastor Russo hit on this a little bit on Sunday night. I know thy works. God's always watching what we're doing, what we're saying. It's a pretty frightening verse when I think about me. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So we see he's talking specifically to this church of Laodicea. It was a church up in Asia Minor. It's right on the Lycus Valley. So you, if you had a map, you got Philadelphia's up here. You have Laodicea's here. You have this city called Hierapolis slightly to the northeast. And then you have Colossae down slightly to the southeast. So you have Hierapolis, starts with an H. They're the city that had the hot springs. That's where everybody in Asia wanted to go. You know, who likes going into jacuzzi? I hate jacuzzis. I hate anything with water and chlorine in it. Just, it's disgusting to me, but some people like to sit in these hot baths. What do you get out of that? What do you get out of putting your body into a hot bath? They were known for these hot springs that had minerals in them, and they literally helped to heal you. It was like going to the spa. That's in Hierapolis. That's not in Laodicea. Hierapolis, H, hot springs. Laodicea, L, not so good yet. So we go a little bit south to Colossae. Starts with a C. They're the ones that had the natural cold springs. That's where it was great to get a refreshing glass of water. Now, this is kind of lukewarm. I put it in the fridge, tried to get it to cool down. 5 minutes in the fridge isn't going to get it to cool down. There's no at the end of it. It's not cold enough. It's not cold. I like stuff ice cold. Or I don't like coffee, but I like hot chocolate. And I like hot chocolate. Like burn your tongue hot. Because there's something about it. It's going to change something. It's going to affect you in some way. But the problem with Laodicea is they had no natural water in their own city. Now we'll see here. What were they known for being? They were known for being rich. So rich to the point that when there was an earthquake in 17 AD, they didn't need money from the Roman Empire watching over their whole empire. They said, yeah, we don't need your stuff. We're good. We got enough cash here to completely rebuild our city after the earthquake. And then again in 60 AD, all the other cities around there, Philadelphia, all those guys had to rebuild again. No, we're good. We're good. So when you see we're rich and we have need of nothing, they literally didn't need anybody's help. They didn't need social and corporate and governmental welfare. They had enough money coming in through that little valley there from some of these things we'll mention here in a second. They were good. They were rich. What they had basically was some different things here. Let's look at this. He says, I'm increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The other thing that's mentioned here is eye salve. They had what they called Phrygian powder. They were known for selling it. And what they would do, I love my eyesight, I can't see anybody right now. This is easy. But if you had any type of eye infection or anything, they used to take and grind up this powder from the stones that were there. It would help cure eye infections. So you say, how can God, because he knows their works, he knows exactly what that city was, he knows the people that lived there, and yet as he gives this to us and keeps this word preserved for us, it's a type of the way our church can get. At the same time he's dealing specifically with that church, this was written around 90 AD. Paul was there, it says, at least in my Bible, in the end of 1 Timothy, that Paul wrote to Timothy when he was in Laodicea. So there was a lot of things going on in this church from 60 to 90 where he's kind of happy of how they're going. He wrote to the Colossians, give this letter over to the Laodiceans, and I'm going to write them a letter, and they're going to give it to you, and you guys are going to share. I love the way you guys are doing stuff. But by 90, Jesus is not impressed. What happened in that 30 years? That's what we're going to look at tonight. We see this lukewarmness. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They were stuck in the middle. They had to have a 6-mile aqueduct come in and bring water. Some people say it came from the north, from Hierapolis. So you have this mineral water that's hot, but by the time it comes 6 miles or whichever way you want to go, because nobody can ever, when you look up and research stuff, they don't really know. The problem is nobody's ever dug out Laodicea to find everything. But you have this aqueduct. If it comes from the north carrying hot water, what's the hot water going to do when it's just running down this open gutter to get to Laodicea? Is it going to be as hot as it was coming out of the hot springs? It's going to cool down a little bit. It'll be kind of lukewarm. But what's in that hot water from up there? All them nasty minerals, right? That's the stuff that we pay thousands of dollars to filter out. Because what'd Jesus say? That's what they were like, spiritually. And it wasn't cold enough, because if they took 6 miles from the south to get that cold water from Colossae, by the time it runs along, open to the sun, open to the elements, it's going to warm up. And that lukewarmness is a spiritual application to where, just like that water, we can spiritually be rendered neutral or lukewarm by our environment because of the environment's effect on us. So we're not refreshing and we're not healing like those hot springs are healing. The cold water is refreshing. What did Jesus say? I want you to be either hot or cold, healing or refreshing. You got a job to do. I wish you were one or the other. Be something, but don't be stuck in the middle where you're just affected by everything around you and neutralized and lukewarm. So we see Laodicea, they had a water issue there. But Jesus shows this spiritual issue. So what's the diagnosis is they're lukewarm. That's their problem. And then he gives this list of symptoms here. Go back to verse 17. He says, and this is, he's quoting them. You say, I'm rich and increased with goods, like that's a good thing, and have need of nothing. But thou knowest not, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Their self-sufficiency is something they prided themselves on. We don't need you, Rome. We can rebuild on our own. This is a place where everybody went to retire. They had so much money, they could just relax there, do whatever they wanted. It was kind of this relaxed state in the church, too, where there wasn't a whole lot of outgoing ministry by that time when Jesus had John write this. Hopefully that's not what we're getting in our church. We want to go out and be hot or cold to the lost world, to maybe somebody like Miss Kent was saying, was she got a chance to be with Miss Kathy. Why did she go through and say all that? I don't know, but God said, that's what you need to be. You need to be able to be comforted by me, to be refreshed by me, to be healed by me, so you can go out and be that to other people. So we see these symptoms here. They were self-sufficient. No, I'm good. I'm good. Just like you go knock on a door. We're here. Oh, no. We're all set. Thanks. And that's how we can get spiritually in our lives. It's not just folks that need the Lord. Sometimes we need to get checked on that. What's the word wretched mean? It's not horribly evil and wicked. It means distressed, afflicted, anxious, to the point of being miserable, where you have no abiding joy. You're lukewarm. You've been affected by your environment, and whatever Jesus has given you in the past, maybe you started out cold, maybe you started out hot, but when the world got to you for 6 miles, all of a sudden now you're wretched and miserable and poor. Yeah, you got money in the bank, but spiritually poor, lacking in Christ's riches. We'll talk about those in a second. You're blind. You can't see what the Lord wants you to see or what He sees. And naked. There's no protection anymore. We wear clothes not only to cover our nakedness, our shame from that sin in the garden, but it also protects us. I don't know if you blew open your shoulder or your elbow with blood, but you probably had something over that to protect, right? Sometimes we just need protection. So we see these list of symptoms here: self-sufficiency, wretchedness, miserable, poor, blind, naked. God doesn't want us to live there. He doesn't want us to live in that world of self-satisfied. It's just a mess. I mean, who wants to be considered wretched or miserable or poor or blind or naked? Nobody does. But when the world gets to you and it warms you up or cools you off, all of a sudden you kind of lose it a little bit. You don't understand, because of the pride of our heart, what's going on there. So what's the Lord's treatment here? He's kind of looking, I think he's looking at like this as a doctor. He says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. So he wants us to buy gold. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. So what's he talking about there, spiritually? The other thing I didn't mention yet was, he wanted these folks to have white raiment. They were renowned for making this shiny black clothing out of black lamb or black sheep's wool. Renowned for it. It was sold for huge money because it was so hard to get and to make. So everybody's wearing black clothes. No offense to all you guys, but Jesus' color is white. White robes of righteousness, right? We see this reference to the clothing there. It says, white clothing, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, verse 18, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then he talks about that eye salve, talking about how they also made some money. So these folks were rich and yet poor. They had need of nothing. They were self-reliant, these symptoms. They produced fancy clothing, and yet he wanted them to have something else. They were famous for their eye, and actually too, their ear salves there, and yet he calls them blind. It's not a good thing. So what's the treatment for all these things? This gold tried in the fire, this white raiment, spiritual eye salve. Let me have you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at this gold. Peter mentions this gold here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Trying to be cognizant of the time. We're shooting for 8 o'clock, right? As the time was going, I'm like, oh boy, I gotta squish. I gotta go quicker. Too much. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. He mentions that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, he wants us to be rich. He wants us to have gold. It's spiritual gold. And we got to put our faith through some things to get those true riches there. He's not interested in us having material riches, but he does want us to be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You don't have to turn there. I got too many verses here. But he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, the Lord, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Not wealthy, not cash in your pocket, but you have the things that God wants you to have. So what type of rich are we looking to be? in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul became poor so others could become rich also, like Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about being rich in good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it talks about being rich in mercy, like the Lord is rich. So what are you shooting for? Want to be like the Laodicean rich, or rich like the Lord? He'd rather have us rich in his things. This clothing, the Lord's not interested in this black raiment that the Laodiceans produced by their own means. And he sure doesn't want us to be naked and showing the shame of our flesh. He wants us to cover our flesh. He's more interested in our receiving of his robes of righteousness. But the question is, what type of clothing do you want? The righteousness of the saints mentioned in Revelation, this white raiment, or to have the latest fashions? I don't like the latest fashions. They seem to be losing their covering ability for some reason. It's hard to not notice it because there's billboards and things all over the place and commercials, and it's like, Lord, what's going on here? But why has it got to get into the church? Lord, help us. White raiment, this righteousness. So we see this is some of the solution that the Lord has for us to deal with. The spiritual eyesight. He wants us to see things the way he sees them because he cares. He says here in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Change your mind, change your actions, change. God wants you to do this. Something in your life holding you back, keeping you in this Laodicean attitude. I know I got tons of stuff to work on. He's more interested in us getting our eyes healed. What's spiritual eyesight? We have a term that we use called discernment. When you can look at something the way the Lord sees it and figure out something's just not right about that. May not be sin, but I have a hard time approving that for, is it me? Is it for my kids? Is it just in general? To talk about that, to be around that, that's spiritual eyesight. That's being able to discern something. He wants us to see things the way he sees it. But he says, you know what? We have to put some eye salve on. Eye salve on. Where does that come from? It comes from knowing his word. So the question is, what's infecting your eyes that needs to be dealt with his eye salve? It's time to change. So in order to be hot or cold to the lost world, what's the solution? Verse 20 talks about being personal with the Lord. That's what Kathy was talking about earlier. And I like the way she said, I have a unique relationship with the Lord. I'm hoping so do I, and so do you. Because he knows all about you. He knows your works, just like he knows my works. Like Pastor Russo mentioned, he knows every hair on our heads. Some it's easier than others, but, you know, it's what it is. But it's this personal time. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. How often does he knock? It's present tense. He doesn't say he's going to stop, but what's the catch there? If any man hear my voice, if... See, the onus is always on us for that time. If we hear his voice. Anybody there? I did a job the other day where I was getting these cameras activated for this lady and her doorbell. You know how, you ever seen the doorbells where you got the button and then the button's like cracked off because somebody hit it and broke it, and now you don't know if it, and you can sit there and press that thing forever. Oh no, that doesn't work. So unless you go, you know, they're not going to hear you because there's a porch and everything. It's just not going to work. So what did I do? Called on the phone. Yeah, I'm outside. Because you couldn't hear anything. But what about you when the Lord knocks? What's distracting you from hearing his voice? Get rid of it. Open the door. Because he says, I will come into him and will sup with him. That fellowship around this word. The food that we need. Who said that? Was it Job? I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I will sup with him and he with me. Just like he did when he was walking, those two guys were walking the Emmaus Road and he sat down and he broke bread. Did not our hearts burn within us? See, they got heated up there because they spent time with the Lord. They got hot. Or maybe they need to get cold and get refreshed. David knew about this. He says in Psalms 36, verse 9, for with thee, back to the water analogy, is the fountain of life. See, these guys in Laodicea, they didn't have a fresh fountain of water to go to. They would have to travel. They'd have to do whatever it took to get fresh water, hot or cold. They'd have to go somewhere, realistically. But David knew, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. He mentions the vision there. Solomon knew it. Proverbs 5. It says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. It's got to be personal. Can't be this religious, yeah, I go to church, so then I must be okay. That's what I grew up believing in the Catholic Church. I'm doing this, I'm an altar boy, I made this and that. And checklist religion. That's what these guys were getting to. Just doesn't work. And unfortunately, Solomon knew it, and he let it go. David knew it, had some trouble, but then he got right. He got healing. He got refreshed. Because he spent time with the Lord and got right. Jeremiah knew it was the downfall of his people. Chapter 2, verse 13, and Jeremiah says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's where Laodiceans live. They had everything all fixed. We're good. We're good. They just didn't understand they had broken cisterns. Yeah, we're doing everything in it. It's just not working out. And they just couldn't see that they were miserable, wretched, poor, blind, naked. Horrible. Because you feel bad. And you can see it. And the rest of the people, but it's like, does anybody want to say anything? Because a lukewarm world, oh, got to be politically correct. Can't be too hot. Can't be too cold. Don't want to drive them away. But sometimes we need that refreshing. I've never understood. I don't like going in any type of water other than maybe a shower once a day, twice a day. But lakes, pools. I almost drowned twice when I was a kid. I'm not big on it. I don't like swimming. I'm not a fish. I look like a whale, but I'm not a fish. But you have these folks that go in and they do this polar plunge or whatever it is. I think one of our relatives, our niece or somebody. I'm like, you're crazy. In upstate New York, of all places, that's what you're going to do? I mean, it's freezing cold. But it's refreshing, I'm sure, if you don't die of hypothermia by the time you get out. But you're going to remember that experience, aren't you? Just like hopefully you remember that experience when the Lord, when you meet with them, right? Jeremiah talks about in chapter 17 that our heart is desperately wicked. He talks about, again, how his people have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. And then he says in the next verse, heal me, O Lord. I need to go to that hot spring of healing. Because it was tough being Jeremiah back then. God kept giving Israel more and more room, and they kept taking it. More and more leash, and they kept taking it. They would not repent. What does Jesus say to do here? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And there's no cost for this water. You just got to go get it. Revelation 21:6, we're almost done. And he said unto me, it is done. Revelation 21:6, if you want to go there. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It all starts and it all ends with Jesus. I will give unto him that is athirst, kind of like I am right now, looking at that Poland Springs bottle, but not that kind of thirst. A thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Just like the lady at the well there. She didn't know what she was looking for. She was going to Jacob's well. Just wanted to go get some water out of that well. Jesus came up and said, but I got living water. What? You saying I don't have to come here anymore? I'll take it. And then she started to get it the more he talked to her. So the question is, will you be hot or cold to someone who needs it? First, you got to get hot or cold yourself. It's just like I was going to try and get a cup of coffee with the smoke coming out up here, and then get this lukewarm bottle, and then get this cold bottle over here. And what's a cold bottle do when it's in a humid environment like us? It starts to sweat, and the wrapper gets all moist and nasty. And you notice something is happening. There's a change going on between that hot and that cold in the environment. And you can see the difference. What difference is there with this? Lukewarm? Fits right in, blends right in, same temp, pick it up, feels exactly like the air on my hands. But that, whoa, that's a little warm. There's going to be that friction in life between people. Or you pick this up and you're like, ah, man, it's all wet. Because something's happened. Something's going on there. There's a change there. And when Kathy was talking about the other Kathy, I had this verse anyway, but this is what came up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's just an example verse. There's plenty more. God talks about, or Paul talks about, the Lord, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them, that healing, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. First, you got to get the hot or the cold, and then you can give it out. Lord, help us. David knew it. Solomon knows it. Knew it. Jeremiah knew it. We know it. But do we act on it? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Pastor.
Certainly some trouble within the church of, not some, the church of Laodicea was trouble. The Bible says that Christ would have spewed them out of his mouth. Because that's what lukewarm water does. If you drink a lot of room temperature water, my dog will go outside and play and get all hot. Then he comes inside and his water bowl is sitting there. You know, drink the whole thing and then throw up all over the floor. Dumbest dog in the world. So, but that's what lukewarm water does to your stomach. It'll make you sick. God says, I don't want that. I want you hot. I want you cold. I want you to be affecting things. There's a lot of problems in the church of Laodicea, but there's solutions to those problems. The church didn't have to stop there. It didn't have to be content with their lukewarmness or their nakedness and their false riches, if you will. No, they could get in on the right thing. If there's a description of the church age in which we live, it would be Laodicea. Yes, look at our buildings. Look at our things. But is the Lord here? Is his presence here? Or is he on the outside knocking, just wanting to come in? Hey, let's make sure. How do we get the Lord involved in the thing? How does the presence of God make habitat here? By us personally bringing him in. By us as individuals making things right. By us as individuals walking with the Lord. And then he meets with us. And his presence is here. So we have a direct obligation in being the antithesis of the church of Laodicea. It is our responsibility. Say, oh, it's yours, Pastor. Yes, absolutely. But equally yours. It is that we take a stand for righteousness and holiness and fellowship with God. And as we walk with the Lord personally, that breaks that. Now we're not just doing a list of things just to, as Brother Bauman said, to check off on our list of, oh, I'm a Christian, therefore I do these things. Look at my marks. Look at my report card. But instead it's real and genuine. Significant difference. I really appreciate that message tonight. Very, very, very applicable. I didn't know about the two cities, and how Laodicea was the blend of them both. That was interesting. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.